All right, I'm usually good for like a good 8 minute drunken jackhammering at 3 a.m. With a girl, you know, just giving her the old just mindless and then like collapsing as soon as I come, like a bad Shakespearean actor being stabbed. Just fall to your knees. It's no. Everyone, the townspeople gather around. It's Michelangelo Patrizio Beaumont. He's come. But no, I mean, when I have a girlfriend, my stroke game is better. But usually if it's a random girl at 3 a.m., it's a lot of like seizuring and flailing and squirming. And it's kind of like a paraplegic guy trying to fuck his way out of quicksand. It's just a lot of, and then not really going anywhere. Just a lot of squirming. And then the girl laying underneath me, just wondering like, what have I done? This is such a questionable idea. But why I'm telling you this is because 9 months ago, I had my fifth symphony, so to speak, of awful drug-induced random hookup dickings. And eventually, it was like the worst thing ever, and everything went wrong that could have, and I kind of forgot about it until this kid came up to me who I know from high school. He came up to me at a bar, and I was kind of having a good time with my friends, just thinking not terribly of myself. And he came up to me, and like he told me the story from the girl's perspective, which affirmed just how terrible I thought it was, how terrible I thought this entire night went. And I kind of blocked it out and be like, you always assume you think it's worse, and come on, no, it wasn't that bad. But he was literally laughing at me, telling the story from the girl's perspective of what she told him, and I didn't know they knew each other. I didn't even know this girl. But that's when I knew it was bad. So, of course, I have to tell everyone now. So, I was in San Francisco. And in San Francisco, if you want to pick up like the cream of the crop of questionable maidens, you go to a bar called McTeague's. It's like half 18, 19-year-olds, and then half, or like 40% 20-year-olds, and then like a bunch of like 50-year-old dudes. So I seem pretty cool walking in there, being a 22-year-old or 23-year-old, I guess I was. It's a cool bar, has like the makings of a fun bar, but it's just really a hot spot for like young people who are just angsty and want to fuck, which is what I do. God, that's creepy. I mean, I'm sure every city in the country has one. They just kind of like bar with girl, like really like girls that like have any kind of self-respect, like, or just like roll their eyes even when they come near it, because like they went there when they were young and slutty, and now all the younger slutty girls go there and dudes come and prey on them, like Wooderson and myself and my friend Taco. So when most people go to bars, I guess, but bars are originally for where you go with a group of friends. And you go sober, and then you go and you have a couple of drinks and having fun. And then maybe as the night wears on, you're having a really good time with your friends. You kind of see people and you maybe see some girls and you talk to them organically, like, oh, hey, like, you guys want to come join us or something like that. Because the key for like picking up girls isn't to like hunt them down like they're fucking wild prey. It's to have an awesome time with your friends, post up, and they'll come to you. I know this, but this is not how I conduct my business. And this method is exactly the opposite of what my friend Taco and I were doing on this particular night that started the ball rolling on this just awfulness. So we're broke, so we didn't want to buy drinks, but we wanted to get fucked up so that we could have more, you know, confidence and like ourselves more. We need some happiness juice. So we bought a fifth of Smirnoff from a liquor store, like one of those whatever kind of ethnic liquor stores, and went to a back alley and chugged the entire fifth. And we entered McTeague's, this bar, and we were absolutely fucking bombed. Like, I'm surprised we got in, and we were just shithoused. And as soon as I get in, I look behind me and Taco is just gone, like nowhere to be found. And then, I look back on it now and it makes sense, because Taco doesn't do the whole like wingman thing. Go up to a type of girls. Hey, how's it going? This is my friend Taco. I'm Michael, whatever. He's more like a search and destroy one man outfit. Like if you even try to talk to him as he's on the dance floor, like doing arm bicycle thing with girls' hands, or waiting for a girl outside the bathroom, or chasing her down the street. Just kidding. He just loves getting laid so much. He just, he hunts them down. Like, it's not fun. There's no smile on his face. He's looking for someone to put his dick inside of. And he's, especially when he's blacked out. Love him. And I mean, I do the same, but I guess I'm just not quite as obvious about it. But, so he was off. He was gone immediately. And I don't even know how it happened because I blacked out for whatever. I'm black. I don't remember a single thing for a few hours. But before I know it, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm talking to some girl, and I realize I've been talking to her for a long time. And I mean, I probably did more listening than anything because she was into me, and I was so fucked up. There's no way I could have said anything that would make her be into me. So I was probably just like listening to her or something. Probably told her I was a writer. Oh. That's so hard for me to admit, but it's true. And that's like, and that's basically like a fucking saying you're a baseball player because you've been to the batting cages before. It was a lie. So I snapped out of my little like Smirnoff raspberry induced autopilot blackout. And I realized this girl's into me. So I did what anyone that's petrified of rejection does. I bounced. Say it with me now, kids, remember. Quit before you lose. Do you understand me?
Yes!
Good. Okay, so I explained to Taco on our lonely walk home, I told him what happened, and I kind of just joked about rejecting her before she rejected me, because now I can just assume, oh, she was really into me, I probably would have fucked her, boo, and kind of made a joke out of it like I just did. And we stopped and did donuts and did all our regular shit, but right when we got to his front door, he stopped me and got all serious. And he's like, and my friends and I are not serious. We have an entire relationship built on whatever, drinking excessively, like self-deprecation, jokes, whatever. So I listened up when he started getting serious, and he's like, and this like almost sad music started playing, and he's like, dude, I know you're being funny, but that's a terrible, terrible way to live your life. I mean, this girl clearly likes you. Like, what the fuck do you have to lose? And fuck, I mean, that hit me hard. So I was like, oh man, I got this like rush of adrenaline. And had this like eyes glazed over epiphany. Like, look, you know, like when the movie protagonist gets that little nugget of truth at the end of the movie, or like almost at the end of the movie when he needs it most and it changes his life forever. Like, nothing is the same after that, and then he acts. So I told Taco, I was like, dude, I feel like my eyes just glazed over, and I just had this epiphany, like when the movie protagonist gets that little nugget of truth when he needs it most, and his life changes forever, and nothing's the same after that. Only I'm that character. And I'm kind of, so I'm riding this awesome wave of like thinking, this is the moment, man, you got this, Mike. And I'm riding this like a wave of adrenaline, and I texted her, and I was like, hey, what are you up to? And by now it was like probably 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, fuck it, dude, I'm texting her. So I texted her, and it was one of those where like even as soon as you see it delivered, she started typing, and I was like, oh man, like she's probably telling me she's calling the cops. But she texts me back, and she's like, come over, she gave me her address. And without saying anything, I just started backpedaling away from Taco like Simba when Scar told him to run. And then I spun around and took off running very dramatically. And he's like, Taco shouted at me, he's like, where are you going? And just like I hoped he would ask, and I looked back at him and said, waited like a long beat and said, I'm gonna go see about a girl. I was so fucked up and emotional that I literally stole the line from the end of Good Will Hunting, and I was not even trying to be funny. I was just so drunk, I was like, this line relates to my life hella right now. So I delivered the line. I don't think he called me on it, but he probably just thinks less of me for the rest of my life. And as soon as I drop the line, I take off running down the middle of like an empty street in San Francisco. It's 3 a.m., so the streets are all empty. And I'm taking off like triumphant as hell. Like, I'm a fucking just running down the middle of the street like the Olympic torchbearer, you know, away from this bullshit doctrine I spent my entire life subscribing to, and how about how powerless and weak I am and how lame I am, and realizing this is like the seminal moment of my life. And when I realized it was the seminal moment of my life, I realized I had to play some dope tunes. So I turned on Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. And the streets have no name. And it's the music slowly started I was like, I felt kind of lame putting on, putting a soundtrack to this moment. But I was like, you know, if this is a movie, this is the song I'm playing. So I paired on one of the streets had no name and just paraded down the street, full of life, full of hope, completely in the wrong direction from where I wanted to go. Which I found out by after I punched her address in my phone and realized she lived on the exact opposite side of San Francisco from where I was. So now it's we're getting so after all that shit, we're getting closer to 4 a.m. And there probably 3:30, and there are zero cars on the residential road that I'm on. So I'm like, okay, well, I need to go out onto Lombard, and Lombard is like a 6-lane super street. It's massive. And this is 100% true. I flagged down a car like someone had just like stolen my firstborn child. I was like, help, help. And I flagged down this guy, and this awesome dude pulls over, good Samaritan. Really the first car, the only car that was on the road. So he kind of had that thing where like, I'm sure there were 50 cars on the road, no one had pulled over because it's like diversion of responsibility, but he pulled over because he was the only one. So he felt like he had to help. Sucker. The dude pulls over and I tell him how I'm on a mission of like love and passion and hopefully intercourse. And he agrees to drive me to her house. I probably could have called a cab, but whatever. So it was great. So it was a small miracle, right? So I'm good to go now. The rest is history. I fucked her. No. Okay. So we're getting closer to her house and I'm about 45 minutes later than I said I would be because originally I texted her and I'll be there in 5. Or as I imagined her reading it, hey, I'll be there in 5, babe. You hold tight and wait for daddy. But I've taken like 9 times longer than I said I would in that original text. And now I'm realizing not only do I not remember her name, but I don't remember what this girl looks like. Like, no fucking clue. I'd probably be able to pick her out of a lineup if the other options were like mythical creatures. But if it was all girls in the lineup, there's no chance. And so I'm like, okay, well, at least I got her name. So I looked at the girl I was texting, and I realized for the first time that her number that I saved in my phone, her name was Mike, dude, you're so drunk. So I don't know what she looks like, and I don't know her name, but I know where she lived. So this nice Good Samaritan drops me off at her house, and he's super cool because he lets me pay for the ride in cash instead of a blowjob at gunpoint. So that's tight. So I hop out and I text her and I tell him I'm here. I'm outside. No answer. So I text her again. No answer. I knock on the door. No answer. And my instinct was not to like call her, you know, because it's weird. You double text her, knock on her door, play it cool. But then I realized the situation and I'm like, okay, well, I came 10 miles across the city at 4 a.m. to wait in the cold outside her house. I think we're past the point where I can play it cool. And right as I'm about to like press call, the door to her front door starts opening. And again, so I don't remember what she looks like. So whether it's her that enters the door or her probably pissed off, freaked out roommate who just called the cops. So there's a man banging on my door at 4 a.m. No matter if it's either of those situations, I have to give the same friendly, like, what's happening? What's happening? Hey! And just hope she doesn't fucking pepper spray me or tase me or something. And this is a good... I should say I live by the rule of when in doubt, go in for the hug. Because worst case, the person will assume they met you at some other time when they were drunk and they forget you and they feel like the asshole. So it's better they feel like the asshole than you and you're just a friendly guy. So I see a female body answer the door and I go straight for the fucking hug. Like no hesitation, like a soldier meeting his spouse at the airport when he came home from Iraq. Just run up, hug, boom, no hesitation. And I hug this body that I hope is this girl, and it totally works. Like she's happy to see me. She's not creeped out. And not only that, I look behind her after we say, "Hey, how's it going? I'm glad you came." She's like, "Oh, fuck yeah, I'm glad I came." And I look behind her, and not my friend, but this kid I know from high school who I'm friendly with, is doing drugs on the kitchen counter. And he comes over and gives me a big hug, and it's great. And there's 5 or 6 people in the kitchen just doing blow, and it's great because he gives me a big hug, and immediately I'm no longer like the creepy guy that came over at 4 a.m. that clearly wants to fuck all of their friend. I'm this guy that's been like audited and approved because I have a mutual friend approval thing, you know. So everyone's like, oh, this guy must be cool if he's friends with our friend here. And that's it. The disaster averted. I'm good to go for the rest of the night, right? No. So we have a couple of beers, and and eventually everyone else, like five or six people, they kind of go off to various rooms to consummate their love. And it's become like really abundantly clear that I'm going to get laid, which is hella tight. I'm probably the last dude in the world to figure out that if a girl invites you over at 3 a.m., that's usually what happens. But either way, I was really stoked. So we go downstairs to her room, and there's like outside her bedroom, there's like this kind of like shitty, a couple like beanbag chairs are on the ground. So we kind of sit in these little up against these beanbag chairs, and I'm like, in my head, I'm congratulating myself for the upcoming amazing intercourse I'm about to have when she asked me if I want to smoke weed. So I don't really smoke weed. I used to smoke weed in high school, but just out of boredom, because my friends and I would just meet up and we'd be like, fuck, what are you doing tonight? And no girls want to hook up with us. No, we didn't get invited to any parties. We'll just smoke weed until we fall asleep in the bushes. So we did that. I did that a lot in high school, but I never really liked it. It brought my social skills down to like almost zero. Like I get self-conscious. I examine my life. I'm usually pretty confident, but I'm just the worst on weed. And I hate that when people say that, I don't know, it makes me like really quiet, but it's true. And it makes me super quiet and all that seventh grade girl bullshit. So I don't really smoke weed. Occasionally I take like a hit out of a spliff or something. If like my buddies are smoking after like a long night and I'm just kind of chilling out, but I don't really do that often, and my tolerance is absolute shit. But I'm fucking, you know, but I'm rolling. I'm feeling pretty tight right now. You know, everything's working out the way it should. When so many things could have gone wrong, the stars seem to have aligned. I'm like, fuck it, I can hit a joint right now. So I say to her, so she asked me, and I say to her, yeah, sure, that sounds tight. But before I say that, I thought of everything I just told you. So I clearly kind of hesitated. So, and she picks up on that, and she gives me an out. She says, you know, if you don't want to, no worries at all. I hate when peer pressure me into doing shit like this. Like, if you don't want to smoke, I'm going to smoke. But if you don't want to, don't worry about it. Okay, now, kids. Yes! When you don't want to do something and agree to do it kind of like instinctively, and then you're magically given an out, take the fucking out. Do you guys understand?
Yes!
Okay, good. But Uncle Michael here didn't take the out. Instead, with a stupid fucking smirk, I was like, nah, smoking's chill. Hit me with it. So before I realized like how dumb I sounded, which I now am freaking out about, but if I realized how dumb I sounded, she reaches behind her, and I think she's going to take it some like whatever, some pencil box with some joints or a little bit of weed in it. She takes what I thought was a sleeping bag case, and she opens it up with a zipper down the side, and she takes out a 2-foot roar.
Mother of God.
2 fucking feet. This thing probably cost like $400 or $500, belonged in a Cypress Hill music video. It was massive. Massive. And then she packs up this bong for me, and she hands it to me, and I used to hit bongs all the time, so I know how to do it, and I milked this big fucking hit because I was drunk and I was stupid, and I totally forgot in the moment. I think I wanted to like be cool, like, oh, look, this big hit I'm taking, because like when you're hitting a joint or something like that, people can't really tell how much you're taking, but a bong, they can clearly see how much smoke you're taking. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a bitch, like, I'm fine, I'm sure my tolerance is cool. So I milked this shit, this fatty bong load of a full 2-foot bong load of San Francisco bong load, 2-foot bong load of San Francisco medical marijuana, like the highest grade sativa in the entire world. And I pull the carp, and it shotguns into my mouth, and or pull the slide, shotguns into my mouth, and second, like, it only took seconds, and I exhaled, and I realized it was over. It was so fucking over. I was barbecued. I mean, I'm orbiting one of like Pluto's furthest moons. All I just kept asking myself was, what have I done? It was like Oedipus after he killed his dad. What have I done? And right as I'm wondering if she can feel my sweaty palms from across the room, a door opens to the downstairs next to us, and it's her roommate. And he heard us talking, and he just wants to smoke with us. I was like, perfect. I don't need to talk for like 20 minutes. I can just kind of sit quietly over here and wait for it to wear off before the lovemaking begins. And he sits down next to us Indian style and hits the bong, and they're kind of shooting the shit. I introduce myself and I can say, hey, how's it going on Mike? But that's about it. And they're just shooting the shit, and I continue my space exploration. And it's been a while. I haven't said anything stupid. I'm on a roll. And that's when a roommate's like, out of nowhere, drops the bomb. And I quote, I'm thinking about spending more time doing the arts. I mean, and he didn't say, like, I was thinking about getting into music more, or like blogging or painting or dance or just the arts. He'd like to spend more time doing the arts. And I quote, I don't know, possibly volunteer in the arts? As if, like, the arts is like a fucking place you can go and, like, ask if you can volunteer. So I kind of felt my laughter creeping up my throat like a fucking ninja. But I'm biting my tongue, and I'm chewing on the shirt, the side of my collar, just trying to make it look natural. I'm sure it wasn't, but I was just doing anything that would make me not laugh, because you know when you just know you can't laugh, and of course that's when you have to laugh the hardest. I bite on my shirt, and I think about pottery or some stupid shit like that, and after a long pause, I think I'm good, and then he just drops it on me. He's like, I'm actually thinking about dedicating my entire life to the arts. And I fucking lose it. I mean, it was not laughter, it was a seizure. I was laughing so hard I wasn't even making noise, I was just vibrating. It was so bad. And there's clearly nothing else I could have been laughing about except for him saying he wants to dedicate his life to the arts, which is so mean. But at the same time, I think there was nothing I could do about it. It was just, oh god. So I'm just laughing right in his face, and I can't stop because I'm so fucking high. And this guy did not think it was funny at all. he called me out. He's like, what the fuck's your problem, man? He got really like offended, and I felt bad, and then he got up and left, and I was like, fuck, this bitch is gonna tell me to leave. I just offended her roommate. The girl tries to defend me, and I was like, oh, she's like, chill out, man. And I was like, cool, she's defending me. She's like, he's just really, really way too high. I was like, oh no, she knows I'm high. How did you figure that out? And my laughing fit just ends, because now I'm paranoid. And so he leaves, and I'm like, fuck, man, this girl knows I'm like a huge fucking weirdo, fraud, wannabe chill dude. I'm almost like getting ready to like, okay, well, you know, it was good hanging out. I'll see. But like against all odds, after all this shit, she leans in and we start like kissing. I was like, cool. Holy shit. Right. So everything went after that. We brought her back to the room. Fucked her. It was a great night. Right. No. So we both got like just terrible cotton mouth. So when we kiss, when our tongues touch, it's like two pieces of like sandpaper sanding each other. It's the worst, literally the worst. It's horrific. So we go into a room and we start getting undressed, and I'm chuckling to myself because there's no chance I'm going to get a boner. No chance. I can barely feel my legs, let alone my cock. You know, sometimes you can kind of like think about it and flex your cock and be like, come on, man, get it going there. When you're kind of fucked up and you need to like give your cock a little pep talk. Well, there's no chance of that. My cock is completely on its own. Like, if it shows up, if the little guy shows up, it's dope, but there's nothing I can do to like summon him. You know, his phone's dead, my phone's dead, there's nothing I can do to communicate with them. So I'm just hoping for the best. And so we finally get naked, and I look down, and I still couldn't feel my dick, but I had a completely respectable half chub going. You know, we're not talking full mass here, we're talking half mass, but it would have done the job, but I need to help a little bit. So I thumb it in. Oh shit. Sorry, kids. Thumbing it in is when you don't have like a full erection. So you need to like give your cock a splint to get inside the girl, you know. Do you guys got that?
Yes.
Great. So I thumb it in and I'm on top and quickly get bored because I'm just kind of doing like the rhythmic thrusting, like it's like fucking a metronome, you know, because I can't think of anything creative and I'm fucked up and I'm so high still, so high. So I started peeking out of her room because I think she had like her lamp on or something like that. So there was some light in the room and I'm looking around and it's a girl's room. And I always think it's funny how all girls' rooms kind of look exactly the same, but I'm looking around and on our wall is like a blown up picture in a frame of her as like, I don't know, I can't judge kids, but maybe like 7, 8 years old, like a little dress on the first day of school or some situation such as that. And it's weird because I look at her little girl's face and then I look down at the girl that I'm inside of. And not only they're the same girl, but their faces look exactly the same. It's really fucking weird. Like, her face hasn't changed at all. And I guess my face is, I just didn't really notice. I think people look a little different. She looked exactly the same. Like an evil doll, you know, got just like grew up and went to college. It was weird. So I look at her and I look again at the 8-year-old in the photo and I realize that I'm fucking an 8-year-old. And that's when I just went completely wet noodle inside of her, just straight wet noodle. Kids, how do I put this? Have you ever tried to open a trap door with a wet noodle? Okay, well, it's good because it's impossible. So that was the end. So, but how was I going to break it to her? Her roommates, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, so I couldn't do the old, oh shit, are your roommates coming? I think I heard something else. Are your roommates, is your door locked? Because her roommates are clearly asleep. So, after telling her I just tell her the condom broke. It's like, oh no. And she's like, you can keep going. I'm like, no, you know, like, I think that's like a really bad idea. Like, I'm really trying to practice it, whatever, some bullshit. And I just roll over just so embarrassed because it's so awkward. And I think about clicking my heels together and just Dorothying my way out of there, Dorothying my way home. And while I was clicking my heels, I guess I passed out. Which is like, so basically was in the middle and I just stopped, which is basically like the sexual equivalent of turning the Nintendo off in the middle of the game. Just the worst, just terrible, terrible etiquette. A quick way to not be ever called back by a girl. But so I wake up in the morning and not only did I not warp home like I was hoping to, I'm still drunk and I'm still fucking super high off that one bong load.
Bong load?
So I figure, fuck it. And I call out the elephant in the room and she's awake too. And I call out the elephant in the room because it's one of those weird things where you always wake up at the same time. Very odd. But I tell her, I'm like, yo, I'm really sorry for the awful dicking last night. And I figure she'll laugh or wonder, no, God, this is fun. It was a good time. But she just totally accepts my apology. Like, she didn't think I was joking at all. She just did all the, she like did like the theatrics of like a mother after like being lied to by her child, you know, like she looked the other way, like arched her eyebrows, pursed her lips, you know, kind of shrugged, then turned back and be like, no, I accept your apology. So I felt even worse. So that was like kind of my cue. So I got dressed and bolted outside. And it was like 9 a.m., I guess. And that's when I realized I was probably like an hour from my friend's house. And my phone was dead. So I didn't know the correct bus route to get home because like all kids my age, I just depend on my phone. But my phone's dead. I'm sure as fuck not going back inside and asking her where try to map my bus thing. So I just start walking. Crashing at Taco's place might have been the play. But yeah.